And a good Saturday morning to you. It is really warming up. We've gone from 15 below to 14 below. Let's say hello to Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M. Laura, good morning.
A good chilly morning, Denny.
Yeah, you could feel the difference, couldn't you, from last hour to this hour?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just getting colder with the wind, personally.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt. And sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, all these years on CCO Radio, it seems like the 8 o'clock hour here in the Twin Cities gets colder than the previous or post 8 o'clock hour for some reason. I'm not sure. But in this case, it warmed up 1 degree. But in the meantime, we are welcoming any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have for Laura. You know the number, 651-461-9226. If you want to call and chat with Laura, great. Otherwise, send her a text, 651-461-9226. Well, it looks somewhat promising, Laura, that by the end of the week, we will be getting at least closer to a normal or average temperature for this time of year. What does a lawn and garden person like you from the U of M Extension do this time of year for lawn and garden? What are you thinking about? What are you doing? Anything, any kind of prep work?
Yeah, well, I am bringing joy by staring at all of the seed catalogs, even though I already spent, I'm not going to say how many hundreds of dollars on seeds for my personal home. But I'm just trying to plan what I want to grow and what's going on. And I've just been keeping an eye on all the wildlife and when they're coming out in the garden. I have had a couple friends say that they went out because we had some, you know, it got warm, so the snow compacted and melted a bit, and they realized their fences weren't high enough. So even though it's cold right now, in a few days, like you said, it's a good time to go out and check if you do need to extend the fences you have protecting some of your trees and shrubs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I'm thinking, too, that fortunately that we do have snow cover. We did get, of course, kind of a dusting here and there, but that really helps a lot. I mean, some years we've had very little, and then we've had these terrible temperatures. What can happen to our shrubs or plants given no snow cover in these sub-zero temps?
Yeah, I actually just pulled up the snow depth, and it's the groomed trails conditions from the Minnesota DNR. And actually in the southwest corner, it looks like there is not snow cover. So with these really cold temperatures, the crowns of our particular herbaceous perennial plants, they can actually be damaged if they're exposed or right at the soil surface. So hopefully you had taken care of them and watered them pretty well this fall going into winter. So at least the soil or the plants were taking up moisture and they weren't already kind of dry going into winter.
Yeah.
But it's because the cold temperatures have already kind of come. It can be a little challenging to try to pre-cover them with like straw bales or something like that.
Right. At this point, I'm looking at a text and we're getting a bunch already. My spider plant texter says has not had babies in a long time. Do I need to repot?
Actually, it's kind of fun. Sometimes spider plants will push out more of those babies, those plantlets, when they are a little stressed. So I actually keep mine fairly dry, not bone dry, but fairly dry, just to help promote some more plantlets to form. But if you do notice, like when you go to water, if the water comes right out of the pot immediately, that either means that there isn't much potting mix left in that pot and you should refresh it, or there's it dried out too many times, so you still should do a nice deep watering. Another thing that could be is sometimes you won't have plantlets form if it hasn't been given fertilizer in a couple years. So if you haven't ever fertilized your houseplant or put a slow-release fertilizer or something like that, I would recommend doing like a half rate right now in the winter.
If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. And I remember when you first came on the air, Laura, we probably asked you about your background. But I think, you know, we always get new listeners, fortunately. And whatever got you interested to begin with in this thing called gardening?
Yeah. So my parents were avid gardeners and ornamental and edible. And I loved being out with plants. I actually thought I was going to go work in natural areas. So I started my journey into a higher ed in environmental science. And then I learned the word horticulture and absolutely fell in love. So I ended up getting both of my degrees in horticulture. And I really just wanted to help people to understand how to grow, their own plants, and plants just bring so much joy. So, yeah, it was a long, meandering journey.
So you have one of those jobs that you love to go to work.
I do love going to work, and I love watching people's faces as they're growing a plant for the first time or learning something new. It's, yeah, very fulfilling.
Are we teaching kids, young kids, about this fun, what I call therapy, called gardening? I mean, are we getting in touch with younger people and moving them into that great world?
Yeah, so we have an amazing group of a huge, amazing group of volunteers, the Master Gardener volunteers, and they have a lot of programs where they are working with youth, either in children's gardens. Sometimes they partner with schools. And so, yeah, we have thousands of volunteers who are actively participating in their communities and helping youth to get more connected with plants. And of course, there's 4-H as part of Extension. I'm sure you all know all that beautiful green all over when you're at your county and state fair.
Sure. By the way, if you have a lawn or garden question, here's that number again, 651-461-9226. Laura Texter sent this in. I thought large potted calliope geranium was dormant in 42-degree garage, now all covered with small 2-inch leaves. I don't have enough sunlight to bring it out into the light. Should I cut off the leaves, trim it way back? Will that drain its spring energy?
That can be kind of tricky because that plant is probably pretty stressed out in that low-light garage situation anyway. And so it's pulling a lot of its reserves to push out those new leaves. You can try to do like you suggested, trim it back and just try to keep it dormant. It probably had a little bit too much moisture in the pot, in the soil, that could have promoted that growth. If you do have any light, you can bring it in. If you have a south or west facing window, that you can keep it, you know, a couple inches off the window, particularly if you don't have a well insulated window like I have at my home. Not very well insulated windows.
Well insulated.
Yeah, mine are not. So I have to keep my plants, you know, 5 to 6 inches away, which really decreases the light the plants get, so they get a little leggy. But you can, if you do bring that geranium in and it's pushing kind of long, wispy growth, you can try to root those cuttings in a few weeks once they're like 6 to 8 inches long. So you could try to propagate that plant and kind of give it a refresh.
Okay. Listener asked this, Laura, when can I start fertilizing my houseplants?
Anytime. So if you are like me, I grow a lot, or if you're a dry grower, so you let your pots kind of dry out frequently. And then if you have like terracotta pots, where again, the pots will dry out more frequently, and you start watering more because the air is so dry in your home, you actually do need to continue to fertilize your plants throughout the winter. I know that commonly you're going to see that we say, hey, usually you don't need to water in the winter, but that really just depends on how frequently you're watering your house plants. So I actually do fertilize mine a few times during the winter, and winter's pretty long, you know, in Minnesota. So you can use like a half rate of a standard fertilizer or a house plant fertilizer.
Very good. Laura, hang on, please. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back on the other side. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours, either by phone, if you want to call and chat with Laura, or just send her a text. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 14 below. They don't mention a wind chill, and that is because there's hardly any wind at all, fortunately, this morning. We're going to head for a high, if you like to call it that, about 2 below. A little warmer tomorrow, we will get up to about 5 above here in the Twin Cities. Again, right now, it's a minus 14 from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question as we do every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Laura, you got to help me out here. What's all this talk about exploding trees? Is that a real deal, or is that some figment of somebody's imagination?
Well, that's a great question, Denny. When I first heard that the other day, I was like, okay, what happened to the internet? what people might have been hearing about exploding trees, no, the limbs aren't just going to, you know, blow up and shatter. And I think most of us in Minnesota know that with this cold temperatures. We've seen these types of cold temperatures before. But what you will be hearing are these kind of cracking and creaking sounds coming from a lot of our trees. And that is because when it gets so cold, there's fluid in the tree, right, that brings up water nutrients throughout the plant. You can kind of think of that like the sap, right? We think of sap flow. That can start freezing, and what ends up happening is it freezes and it expands, just like, you know, how water, when we get ice, right, it's a little larger. So anyways, it'll expand, and it can actually crack the bark a little bit, and so you might hear that cracking and popping noise. So if you do look at your trees and you notice on the southwest side of the main trunk, maybe you have a nice crack. That's called a frost crack, and that's part of the reason you see that is because those are the majority of the reason why you see that is because those cells are freezing and expanding, and it causes that bark to crack in the winter. So nothing
that's
to be alarmed about.
Okay.
The limbs are not going to blow up. They're not going to fall on you, hopefully.
So. I know many of us in this cold weather over the years have heard our homes creak and crack and these with these extreme temps. Not to worry. All right. I'm looking at a text that's rather scattered, so bear with me. I'm going to try to piece these 7-8 lines together. Texter says that the city I live in installed a very bright security light on a power pole in my backyard last fall. It stays on all night, and I think I could literally read a book at midnight in my garden. I'm worried that this is going to be detrimental to my vegetable plants, especially my beloved tomatoes. I've heard that plants should have some dark or rest period every day. I will wait and see what happens this year, but I'm wondering what you think, Laura.
Yeah, so that is a tricky thing. If you can contact your city and just see, you know, if it can go on a motion sensor or something like that, perhaps. I'm not sure what that situation looks like for you. Some plants do need darkness in order to flower. Tomatoes are not one of those plants. But there is a need for plants to have a dark period because they actually end up storing a lot more carbohydrates and whatnot. Not going to go deep into all the different things that go on in the plants on the radio because it might get a little confusing. But I think your plants will probably be okay. And if you do notice that there's something drastic happening this year and you haven't changed anything like watering, fertilizing, mulching, etc., you could definitely just talk to your city and be like, hey, this is negatively impacting my plants. But for tomatoes, I wouldn't be too worried. But
I'm just wondering, too, if it's a matter of security light. You know, that may be another issue if it's put up there for security. So that's something to check into. Good morning, Texter says. I look forward to your show each week. Well, thank you. When can I prune my apple trees and my burning bushes? How late in the season would be too late?
You can actually go in most of the state, be pruning those plants up into March with no problem. I usually get to mine because we don't want them to get too dry in the winter. If we start pruning early and we get these really cold, dry winds that come through. So if you wait until February, March, you should be fine.
Very good. Another texter sent this in. Tell me about winter berries shrub, where to plant it, moisture, etc.
Yeah, winter berries are fairly adaptable. Trying to think about where we're putting them at the arb. They're in full sun. I know we have some in full sun. I think they can also go into part shade and do just fine, but with more sun, they'll likely fruit for you a lot better. But any plant that you're going to put in, make sure that you are watering it really well, at least for the first 2 to 3 years. So don't just baby it that first year with watering. Just make sure to get it established really well, and it should be just fine.
All right. Another listener sent this in via text. Laura, what species of cranberry plants can we plant here in Minnesota? Is there a grower locally that we can purchase them?
You know, that's an excellent question. I have never grown a cranberry plant or looked into putting that in a home garden situation. So I might have to look that up during the next break. Cranberries.
Well, we'll put our research team on that during the next commercial break and see what happens. All right. A listener says, can I carry over a poinsettia or poinsettia and have it bloom next year?
Yeah, so poinsettias, this is really fun you bring this up, because they are extremely light sensitive. And so they actually have to have complete darkness for quite a long time in order to get those beautiful, what we call a bloom, it's actually just modified leaves, those bracts, to change color. And so you have to make sure that no light gets to them for many weeks in the fall in order to get them to get that color again. So it can be quite challenging to do that, but it is possible. And most poinsettias that you get from the store, because in their natural habitat, they are very large. They can get very, very large. And so to get those nice compact growth, they actually use just some plant growth regulators that just keep those internodes shorter so that they're not big, long, leggy plants. So it's actually kind of tricky to grow beautiful poinsettias, like those nice big compact ones with that color year on year. But it is possible.
Very good. A listener wants to know, is today a good day to go out and trim apple and hackberry trees?
I would avoid it personally because it's just very cold for yourself and for the plants. But you could go out now and, yeah.
if you really want to. All right. And you were lucky. We talk about this from time to time. You're lucky enough, and you've told us that, to have office at the Arboretum, right?
I do, and it's been beautiful, just absolutely beautiful.
Well, this next question is related to the Arboretum. How does the Arboretum overwinter its angel's trumpet tree? It's not hardy in Minnesota.
I think it goes into the greenhouse. I would have to ask, though, because we have some amazing, amazing horticulturists and gardeners who take care of all those plants. And my office isn't near that building, which is, you know, it's good for me, but bad for me, because I would love to spend more time just hanging out in the greenhouse where they keep all the tropicals.
All right. Well, Laura, hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast, see if it's going to be warming up soon. And if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we have about another half hour of our show to help you out. So call us or text us, 651-461-9226. This is News Talk 830, of course. This is WCCO. And if you're just joining us, Laura Ivers Hansen from the U of M answering those questions this morning on our Smart Garden Show at 651-461-9226. We were talking about the Arboretum. We also, earlier in the show, for those just joining us, talking, a listener wanted to ask about a cranberry bush. What do you think they were talking about there, possibly?
Yeah, so I was thinking more. I was like, well, maybe they really want to grow true cranberries, you know, cranberry sauce, that kind of thing, which is possible. But cranberries need extremely acidic soil to do pretty well. And I was thinking, and there are a couple cultivars available on, like, you can order them online, like Stevens with a V is one of the cultivars that seems pretty readily available. But I thought maybe they're talking about high bush cranberry, which is a native plant. It's actually a viburnum. And that is a very adaptable plant. It can actually grow in fairly alkaline soil, so high pH, which a lot of Minnesota has high pH soils. And there are quite a few really beautiful cultivars of that viburnum that are available, like the Bailey Compact, Compactum, JN Select. There are a whole bunch of really beautiful ones to choose from. And again, it's a little more adaptable. The fruit are edible from the high bush cranberry, but you just want to make sure that you're cooking them and reading up online on how to do that safely.
All right. Good. Thanks for checking on that. Good morning, Texter says. I moved into a home with an HOA. Last year, I caught them spraying for weeds in late June and fertilization also in the heat of summer. My question is, application of a weed killer in lawn food in spring and fall, is that good enough? I think they're overdoing it.
You know, that would definitely be something you want to talk to them and see what they're spraying and for what potential weeds that they're trying to control at that time, and what the turf makeup is. I know all of those things are really important to consider for most of those lawn care companies. So I would just ask them or ask your if you're in an HOA, you might have like a land care group, landscaping group that are the ones that work with the contractors. So just ask them because those contractors have that information available and they can explain why they're doing what they're doing because there might be a reason for some of it.
Okay. We got a bunch of texts here, Laura, so we'll keep you working at it. My geraniums are very old, texter says, have a lot of long stems without leaves and then a tuft of leaf growth on the ends of the long stem. Is there a way to cut them down to get them to bush out? If so, is there a particular month to do this?
Yeah, so you can do a fairly hard prune back on some geraniums, and I usually do that right before they start pushing growth. Like if you brought them in and put them into some type of dormancy so they're not actively growing, you could cut them back. What I would recommend if it's a very prized geranium, you can do that next year, but take cuttings from that new growth and get those to root so you have backup plants in case that that geranium doesn't actually push new side growth. But for the most part, you can do some pretty hard pruning on them, take off 50% of those stems. You can cut them back. I just realized you can't see my hands. I was thinking I had my hands out wide and then I brought them towards my center. So you can cut about 50% back.
Well, hold them up to the microphone so we can see. I was thinking too, Laura, that we haven't mentioned that great website you and your colleagues put so much effort into, and that's extension.umn.edu. For those that have never seen it, and I know you could go on forever, but what are some of the things you can find on there?
Oh, you can find so many great web pages. There's a lot of great information on proper pruning. So for all of you who are thinking about pruning, you know, those apples or any of your trees and shrubs, we have whole pages explaining how to do that. Some of them have videos associated with them that are really helpful to follow along with. I actually just pulled up to make sure the web page was updated. We have a growing seeds indoors. Because a lot of people are getting the itch to start seed sowing already. And for the most part, you need to keep holding off for a few more weeks. But we do have a whole table on what month you start certain seeds for the best planting. So you can have the strongest seedlings to put into your garden. So that's growing plants indoors or starting seeds indoors. Excuse me. Really great webpage.
Oh, there's somebody. Check it out. Extension.umn.edu. You will be glad you did. This listener, Laura, says, I am attempting to maintain the three Boston ferns I had outside during the summer. I cannot seem to water enough as they continue to dry out. I did notice the plants seem very heavy. Should I remove from the original pot and clean out, meaning pull out some of the root structure and place them in a new potting soil? I appreciate your help.
Yeah, and those Boston ferns can get pretty messy, too, if they dry out too much in between waterings. I would definitely, if you can, gently pull them out. Actually, you might have to be a little aggressive if those roots have kind of started attaching to the sides of the containers. And you can do some light root pruning on them and if you're going to do that. I would definitely recommend still doing a not a super heavy bark mix for the potting mix, but something that still has some perlite for drainage because you don't want to potentially rot the roots and crown if it's too heavy of a potting mix. And just remember, any pot you pot them back up into has drainage holes.
All right. Looking at yet another text. Hi, Danny and Laura. Please explain how to care for an amaryllis with a wax bulb after it blooms. Too many people think that these are, quote, disposable plants.
That is excellent. I just talked about that yesterday in an interview. We have an amazing webpage called Growing and Caring for Amaryllis. And our lovely, lovely friend who is on this show quite often, Julie, actually created a 3-minute video exactly how to take the wax off, how to fill the container, how to pot it up. And she shows what it looks like a week later with the roots growing into the soil. So definitely check out our webpage on growing and caring for amaryllis because it's pretty simple to take care of them and have beautiful plants that bloom year on year.
All right, good. Extension.umn.edu. Good morning, texter says, I have 4 Christmas cactus plants that did not bloom this year. I summoned them outdoors on the porch, moved them to the 40-degree garage, and do not water until buds appear, usually around mid-November. Nothing this year on any of them. I have them all in the house now and have watered nothing so far. Any suggestions?
They probably got a little stressed out. So they don't need a cold period in order to force those flower buds to actually form. They're actually light sensitive. So as day length decreases for both a Christmas and a Thanksgiving cactus, they will form their buds just based on the light decreasing, day length decreasing. Whereas if you have an Easter cactus, those are the ones with a really smooth edges to those, not true leaves, but we call them leaves. Those actually respond to increasing day length. So that's why we call they usually bloom around Easter time. We call them an Easter cactus. It could be that they dried out too much. I know that one time, and by one time, I mean many times, I have forgotten to water mine while they were forming those flower buds, and all the buds dropped off. So if even one time of letting it get too dry, they will drop all those flower buds.
As you know, Laura, we had a text earlier about a light source from a light pole outside there that was so bright, and the listener was wondering if that would affect their growing things in their garden that was on 24/7, really a bright light. Well, I'm looking at a text that says this: my Master Gardener book club just finished a book on night plants, critters, and light pollution. It was called Night Magic by Leanne Henyon. Yes, artificial light affects everything.
Mm-hmm. How about and that? It's really fascinating because there's different the different wavelengths, right? So what actual light is hitting the plants and how it affects it and wildlife. It's amazing. The only thing I was thinking about really was it's not really probably going to impact the flower production
right.
of the tomatoes just because different plants respond a little differently. But yeah, it's amazing what light pollution can do to the environment.
Yeah. Good morning, Smart Garden, Texas says. Please remind your listeners who asked about winterberry that they need a male and female plant if you want them to berry. I listen every week and love learning things from your show. There's a comment. Well,
thank you for saying that. I thought I did. That was in my brain, I guess.
All right. Very good. We have, as you know, the smartest listeners. They really are. Good morning. I'm interested in planting a pollinator kit on a four-acre hay field. We are no longer using it for hay and would like to simply improve the pollinator habitat. When is the best time to spread seeds, and how should we go about spreading those seeds?
Yeah, so it depends on what the site conditions look like, because usually when people are flipping over a space from a highly managed area into more of a natural type area, we actually want to make sure that we are cleaning up as much of the weed seeds that are potentially there, because those weed seeds can potentially actually germinate and outcompete whatever mix you've decided to use your for your wildflower mix. So a lot of the times we want to say don't do a big till, because you can pull up weed seeds that are deeper down into the soil. I'm sorry, I was just trying to think, like, how would I do that on a multiple acres? Strategically, you can just overseed many of these mixes. It's not really feasible to really to do like a big carpet or something to help hold in moisture. But I would overseed and, potentially do that before it rains. I would do it earlier in the spring if possible, or you can throw it down in like March or April, if you still have snow cover, depending on where you're at.
And now probably would not be a good idea.
Yeah, not now. Sorry, I was thinking now, but like winter, relative now.
Yeah. All right, Laura, hang on. We're going to take a bit of a break, and we come back. Tell us, as I mentioned, you know, you office at the Arboretum. We come back, why don't you tell us what's going on? Something is always going on at the Arboretum. We'll talk about that and pick up on more text questions here on our Smart Garden Show from News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering those questions this morning. Laura, what's happening at the Arboretum? I always like to mention that great place.
Yeah. So starting next Saturday, the spring flower show starts, which is just truly one of the most magical times, I think, in the Arboretum, in the Great Hall. So right when you come into the main building. So if you come in this week, you're going to see them setting up and building the displays. And yeah, so that starts next week. Pretty exciting. There is going to be an art fair also. I think that is in two weekends. And so you'll be able to go and see various things that people have made and they're bringing in, which is pretty fun. I also recommend maybe not, well, I don't want to say not today. You brave Minnesotans, right? Bundle up. Yeah. We can do it. But I love walking 3 mile walk during the winter because there's so many beautiful things to see. You get to see all the exfoliating bark on the trees or different winter interests that might give you some inspiration for adding plants to your own yard. So highly recommend walk around outside too. Don't just stick inside if you can.
Absolutely. What do they say? No bad weather, just bad clothes. That's it.
Yeah.
The interesting follow-up, Laura, on that that street lamp bright. The texter said sent this in. This person is from Hutchinson. They had a similar problem when the new city streetlights were put up. I called the city, and they did have a solution. They came out and put a shade on the side that was shining toward my house, and it certainly helped a lot.
So awesome.
Maybe the city will be kind enough to do that for you. Who knows? This listener wants to use a weed mat. Is there one kind you would recommend?
None.
No.
No. So it depends. You know, sometimes they really are great. Like if you need to slope something away from your home because you have bad drainage or something is happening and you need to build it up and get that water away from the foundation of your house, you know, you want to use something really heavy duty and maybe put rock mulch down to hold that down. I know that that's a good application for it. But for the most part, for weed mats, what's going to end up happening is plants are going to be dropping their leaves, dropping debris, and you're actually going to have pretty much soil, organic matter building up on top of that weed mat, and then you're going to have weed seeds drop on that and grow. And so eventually you're going to have to deal with ripping the weed mat out with organic matter and roots of plants on the top. So it can actually be long-term a bigger pain than just using a regular mulch, like a wood mulch, year on year.
Okay.
So I don't have a brand I particularly like. Just look for one. If you are like, hey, I just really want this, look for something that's really heavy duty.
Okay. Very good. This listener sent this text. My pineapple plant grew a pineapple. It has a large green growth coming out from the top. Can I plant this after cutting it off from the pineapple?
That is so fun.
How do you
do that?
I'm
very excited for you.
How do you grow that?
Yeah, pineapples are actually really cool plants. There are multiple ways that you can propagate them, so make more plants. And one of them is you cut that crown off, and you'll actually just take – so how you propagated it the first time, you can do that again. You can just take off that new growth that's on the top and then replant that. Sometimes they'll actually form a side shoot off the bottom that you can separate as well, and you can create a new plant. But I would leave the main fruit that's forming there as long as possible, just because they're beautiful and fun to look at. And then you can take the crown from the top later and plant that out.
Well, physically, would you put it in some kind of soil? How do you do it? What's the very first thing? You cut off the very top of the plant.
Yeah, so it's hard. I'm going to try to describe it. So, you know, the top of your pineapple that you get at the store.
Right.
So you cut that off. You don't want any of the flesh. And so you remove a lot of those lower leaves. Oh. And then you'll actually see little preformed roots sitting there. Okay. And what you do is you get a really well-draining potting mix. And then you just nestle in the top of that into it. And then just keep it pretty well watered. And then if you have it for a couple of years, usually you'll have a fruit forming at the top. So where all those leaves are, a fruit will form, and then you'll get more leaves on the top of that fruit forming. So it kind of is like a pineapple leaf sandwich, if you will.
Gotcha. Oh, interesting.
And then you can take the crown of that, the very top leaf area, and you can keep propagating them that way. But
well, that's kind of cool.
It's really fun. I have a pineapple plant as well as a house plant at my house, but it hasn't formed a fruit yet because I'm neglectful.
Okay, the truth. I'm looking at another text, Laura. Should I fertilize my geraniums that I brought in for the winter, and what kind of fertilizer should I use?
You can fertilize them if you have them in a high light area and they you're having to water them pretty frequently if the potting mix is drying out. I would just use a standard fertilizer, so like a 10-10-10, something like that. And usually we say about a quarter to a half rate during the winter, because the plants, if you have it in a window, there's not as much sunlight that the plant's actually collecting compared to the summer. Half to a quarter rate.
As you know, Laura, here's something we get from time to time, and I wonder where this all came from. Should I put coffee grounds in my garden?
It depends on how many or how much coffee grounds you have. And I actually, I want to say it came out of Washington. They did a study to actually see the quality differences between different coffee, because it can have different amounts of acid actually and different compounds in it. So yes, you can use it. I would recommend putting it into a compost, a well-managed compost system first, to kind of help dilute out, because it is very acidic and that can be kind of detrimental to some of your plants.
Another question we used to get from time to time is people throwing out their eggshells in certain planting conditions. What's that about?
Yeah, so there's a lot of calcium in an eggshell, but it's actually not very readily available to plants unless it's extremely, extremely well ground. So you don't want to just throw chunks of eggshell around your plants unless you, well, there's a couple of reasons people do that. Sometimes it's to keep slugs away, something like that, because it's kind of sharp. But you want to make sure if you're going to do that, that you're washing and washing and washing them, because otherwise you can actually encourage critters and vermin towards your plants, towards your home. So if you do anything with eggshells, just make sure you are washing them. But know that they're not actually going to release very much calcium for your plants, because people usually wanted to put them like while they planted their tomatoes or peppers to help prevent blossom end rot. But blossom end rot typically is actually mostly a watering issue, inconsistent watering.
All right. Another texter said this: my African violet looks like it's trying to climb out of the pot. What should I do?
Oh, I love African violets. So it's probably just growing towards the light, unless you have a light directly above the top. And so you can spin it, and it'll just slowly over time arc back to the center of the pot. You can keep spinning it. If you really want and you think it's really, really root bound, you can gently pull it out of the pot and see if the roots are kind of circling around. But for the most part, we don't want to put African violets in too big of a pot, because they are very, very susceptible to root rot and crown rot. So I'm a little hesitant to say pot it up, because that's probably not helpful. I would just spin the plant a little bit so it's not arcing towards the light, arching.
Okay. Have you ever seen, texter said, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter cacti grown in the same pot? If they are all light sensitive, wouldn't they provide staggered blooms? Might be fun to try, they say.
That would be fun to try. I personally have not seen them all in one pot, but that is a pretty inspirational thing to think about doing.
Yeah. One final note, we had one lawn question. I'm surprised this time of the year. And that was, again, we always get dormant seeding questions, or we usually do. Can I still dormant seed at this time of year with all this sub-zero temp?
You can. I would caution if you have like hard snowpack and you're trying to throw seed on top of it, and then we're going to get pretty blustery winds. Hold off on that until it's going to snow again. So if you can spread those seeds out and then snow covers those, that might be a little more helpful right now in this very cold temperatures.
Well, Laura, let's remind our listeners as we say goodbye here to, first of all, get to the Arboretum if you can. Just head west on Highway 5. What would you say, 5 and 41? You're almost there, right?
Yeah, just like half a mile down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And check out the university website, Laura, which is?
It is extension.umn.edu, and there's so much great information there.
You click on the garden tab, among other things, right? And you get a whole – by the way, for those that are really into lawn care, Julie and you guys have put in a whole lawn care program on that website. So.
Oh, yeah. John has done such an amazing job and updating the pages all the time. And so you're going to get the best research-based information on caring for your lawn.
Excellent. Laura, thank you so much. We have to run. You stay warm, and I know we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Denny.